Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Let's Boogie One-on-One Show right here on Fresh Nation Radio. We are back again. The crew is in the building. The team is here. And we're ready to go. We have a very, very important message for the show tonight. We have some special guests coming on. We're going to bring them on in a few minutes. But I want to just say to my co-hosts, I haven't seen them in a minute. How y'all doing? What's going on? Is everybody okay? Let's start with Miss Dahlia Manette. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. You know, I'm always good. I'm ready to go. I'm excited. It's been two weeks. Too. We haven't been on. Let's go.
I know. Unfortunately, well, you know, it is what it is. But I was in Atlanta last week. I was doing a diversity, equity, and inclusion conference because that's what I do. It was mind blowing because we're looking at, you know, different ways to roll out initiatives for underrepresented people. We talked about neurodiversity. We talked about actually how do we change a narrative for white men, because that is a big thing. And basically it really is we can't change how a person feels or thinks, but during the time of 8 to 4 or 9 to 5 or whatever your shift may be, there are standards that you have to abide by. So we help you manage in a better way. So when I came back home, I have to show y'all this, I got in the mail an award. So my company that I work with sent me this award. And this is from, looks like a lollipop, right?
Nice.
I was colorful. Like, is that a lollipop? So this is actually from our LGBTQ employee resource group. They sent this to me. So I was so happy because I had sent them all gifts last year. I did not expect this.
What does it say on it? What does it say?
It just says Dahlia Sankoban Live Open DEI Award 2023.
Oh, congratulations. Okay.
Thank you. I'm very proud of it. I'm very proud of the work that I do. And I would say there are people who can march, there are people who could have riots, but I work what I do, I've been doing for almost 22 years. And you need people in corporate America, in government, in making those changes as well. So I'm gonna tell everybody right now, I'm not going out in the street and going marching for nothing. I don't even like big crowds like that, but I will be fighting in corporate America for people.
Okay, I have a question for you. You know, you talked about changing the mindset of some of the people that people work for. And you specifically talked about the white males.
Right.
What are the complaints that you're getting? Are you getting, you know, like in other words, what are they, what are we complaining about that they're doing or what their mindset might be? What are we trying to change?
It's not that we are complaining. What they're feeling is the results of having everyone begin to be at equal levels and they're finding that we're equally talented, if not more so. And so remember, white men have always been in the forefront of everything except
right.
Sports at some point. Right. So what the statistics show is that if you look at the whole wide range of, let's just take gender and ethnicity, Black women are held to harsher, stricter rules and management than any other. So you have white men at the top, they're promoted more, they're hired faster, then you have white women, that's next in line. Then you have Asian, which even though the population isn't as high, they're hired well after that. Then you have Black men, and then you have Black women. Even though it has been shown that Black women are becoming the most educated population in America, we are still not getting the jobs that we deserve. And it was a whole bunch of statistics about that and the research that is on it. We're actually discussing it, talking about it, implementing changes. You know, when I talk to my team about starting a men's group, the first thing they did was, you want a men's group? Are they going to sit there and start complaining about things? I'm like, no, that is not what I mean. Having a men's group actually gives us the opportunity to reprogram the way that they think and have them be advocates for us. And, you know, when you say a men's group, who's going to flock there first? So, and so, but any ethnicity where you have men, there's an opportunity to really coach and bring to awareness what exactly is happening. And sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't, but you got to try something.
Absolutely.
Expect change without really showing them how to change.
Okay, appreciate that. Wow, you do good work. Good work.
Thank you.
Exciting. You travel all over the world, and I like that.
I do. Whether it's music, whether it's work, whether it's personal, I'm gonna be traveling a lot this year. So
there you go. Yeah. All right, we got our brother Tattletale. What's going on, man? You got a smile on your face. How you feeling today?
Oh man, I'm smiling because it's so good to see you too. I forgot what y'all kind of sort of look like. Okay, now I'm remembering. Yo, this
is talking about dementia, so yeah, okay.
Oh, listen, diet, all that traveling, everything. Did you get yourself a man yet? You say you started a men's group. I know why you started that men's group. You trying to get your top pickings before everybody else do. I know that. That's an old trick.
I put you in the same bucket.
Sugar mama.
You in the same bucket as my brothers. You will never know until I'm ready to walk down.
Y'all are crazy, man. Tattletale. Wow.
Lord have mercy.
How you feeling? How you really feeling? You know, we was waiting on you. How you feeling? Are you, everything in the health?
Well,
you're about 80 years old, and you know,
yeah,
long to get it these days.
Yeah. Well, you know, Tattletale don't keep no secrets. So, I had my federal funded physical regarding the 9/11 thing, and I got some issues with my lungs.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. So they got I got the referral to see a lung specialist. Yeah.
So can you explain to everybody, because people may not know exactly what that means. Not what you're dealing with, but the results of 9/11. Explain that to people.
Oh, well, the fallout was just tremendous. If you were anywhere from Canal Street on down to Wall Street, you're classed as a survivor. So you have to get in touch with the World Trade Center Health Program. When you become a member, they'll give you a physical to see if you have any more conditions related to 9/11. And once you're certified, you won't have to pay for no more medical bills. They pay for everything. Okay. Yeah. So there are a lot of people that need to get in touch because the program is open till I think maybe like 2090, something like that. So people need to get in there and start filing. The World Trade Center Health Program. Just Google it and you get all the information.
And I think it's important to note that it's not just the adults that live in that area. There were children in school in that area.
There's a school down there, yeah.
Bridge in that area. So it has to go on that long because you don't know what kind of issues or diseases that people who are in that area may develop
as
they grow up, you know, as they get older, because your symptoms didn't start showing up till a few years ago.
That's right.
No, and I just remember, and I don't know if you remember, Les Boogie, is I actually worked on 42nd Street near the UN, and I remember just the smell for 2 or 3 months. So I can only imagine what people were breathing in that time. And it's not like they vacated their homes when they allowed people to go within that radius back to their homes. They're still breathing in all of those chemicals and all of those things have happened. And by the way, interesting fact, Donna Summer died with, I believe it was lung cancer, but as a result of 9/11, because she
really, I didn't know that. Area. Really?
Yes.
Yeah, she had lung cancer. Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, we're going to segue to this. Let's talk about this a moment. We just had a big interview with Wendy Williams.
Oh my God.
It was a big interview with Wendy Williams. I think it was a 3-part series, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Shed a lot of light on some things.
Mm-hmm.
Shed a lot of light on some things that a lot of people deal with that they try to keep secrets and what have you. So we need to get some information concerning dementia, alcoholism, the effects of alcohol on the brain, and different things that a lot of people don't want to talk about, but we need to talk about. We need to be made aware of. So that segues right into what we're talking about tonight. And our guests are here. And I want to introduce them right now. I want to introduce Miss Quandra Francis. They're going to bring her on the screen and say hello. How are you? Miss Francis, hello. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Very good. Very good. So glad you could be here. Now, let me just say this. This young lady right here ran for New York City mayor. So let's be clear about that. She's not only doing this, she was a candidate for mayor. She was on the show before, and she's still in there punching and fighting and helping people. Mm-hmm. And that's real, real important. So thank you for coming on, and we really look forward to what you have to say tonight.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Now, we got a brother down here. He's looking like a movie star. I'm going to bring him on. And we don't want to mess his name up. We're going to say Dr.
Felipe.
Yeah. Dr. Felipe, how you doing, brother? How are you, man?
I'm good. It's Dr. Felipe Duyon.
Okay. Dr. Felipe Duyon.
Felipe. Yep. Come a little closer to your mic. Come a little closer. Yeah, you're far away there. Okay.
Is that better? Can you guys hear me better?
Yeah.
A little bit closer.
A little bit closer.
Yeah, don't be shy now. Don't be shy. We don't hurt you.
Well, I will say, Miss Francis, Quanda Francis, if I lived in New York, you would have gotten my vote right out the gate.
All right. So here we are. I'm going to give the mic to you, to Miss Francis, and you can just educate us from this point on. We have some questions. We'll jump in. You have the mic. It's your show tonight.
Okay. Well, first, I actually allowed my my co-founder to sort of start because we're talking about dementia and he's the doctor. So go ahead, take us away.
Yeah, so dementia is a really big problem. And when we think about dementia, we think about it being associated with as we get older. And in fact, the Alzheimer's Society says that the number one risk factor for dementia is age above 60 years old, right? And the World Health Organization says that the people age 60 and above, that number of people will double by 2050. So we've got a lot of people potentially that will be diagnosed with dementia in the near future, but we also have a lot of people that will potentially be misdiagnosed with different types of dementia coming up. And so people always think about Alzheimer's disease, but Alzheimer's disease is just one specific type of dementia. You've got a lot of things that can potentially cause dementia. And the reality is that dementia is very much a lifestyle disease, right? So when we think about dementia, what dementia really means is that you've got a group of disorders or a group of symptoms that causes a disruption in how we think, in our ability to express language, in our behaviors, and in our memory. And that's because you've got widespread dysfunction of the cells in the brain, the neurons in the brain. Right. And a lot of different things can cause that, including decisions that we make every single day from the time that we are in our 20s, 30s, 40s and 50s that then impact us when we're in our 60s, 70s, 80s and beyond.
Mm. Wow. That is crazy. Where would someone go to be tested for that? Is there a special place or a special doctor that they would need to see to make sure, you know, those tests are given, that they can have the right diagnosis? Because I'll be honest, I always think I might be at the beginning of dementia myself. So, because, you know, after a certain age, it passes through your mind that you forget a word. Sometimes you get stuck in your head with this word or you just can't get it out. And then always comes a, am I losing it? Because I've seen my aunts, my uncles, them all begin to exhibit signs of either Alzheimer's or dementia or what senility is. So if, how would you know if something is wrong?
Well, the first thing is the kind of things that can potentially cause dementia are things like vitamin deficiencies, thyroid dysfunction, having high blood pressure or diabetes, certainly alcohol use can do it. And then you have things like Parkinson's and Alzheimer's. And so when we're talking about screening tests for dementia, people should be seeing their primary care doctors at least once a year. And they should be getting blood work that looks for things like vitamin B12 deficiency, vitamin D deficiency, looking at thyroid function, right? Okay. We should be checking our blood pressures on a regular basis to make sure that our blood pressures are normal. The reality is that some of the smallest blood vessels in the brain don't tolerate high blood pressure or high blood sugar well. And so over time, those areas of the brain that are being supplied by those blood vessels, they're just not getting enough blood flow. They're not getting enough blood flow, enough nutrients, enough oxygen. And that causes damage that later on can present itself like memory issues, problems with speaking. So the signs and symptoms of dementia. A lot of people will tell you, a lot of neuroscientists, neurologists will tell you that Alzheimer's disease is type 3 diabetes. That's how
close
really?
Between wow. Alzheimer's disease and diabetes. So we've got to get our blood sugar under control.
I've okay? never heard of type 3 diabetes. They only talk wow. about type 1 and type 2. That is something totally yeah. new.
When wow. we look at a lot Me. Of diseases that have gone up in the last 30 years, mm-hmm. we're talking about sedentary lifestyle, obesity, type 2 diabetes, and Alzheimer's disease. There's a link there between all of those
mm. things,
right? Yeah. We don't like to talk about, oh, this causes that. But the reality is that this puts you at significant increase of that happening to you later down the line.
Well, that's I've never heard that before. Let me ask you this question now. When you talk about Alzheimer's, I know a lot of people, just regular people, they say dementia and Alzheimer's, they think it's the same thing.
Yeah.
Can you break that down for us, the differences and why it's not the same thing? Because that's real important, because I'm one that actually thought, well, Alzheimer's, you know, dementia is the same thing, you know, what's going on? I really need to know, what's the difference?
And so even in healthcare, we've got a lot of doctors and nurses that use that term interchangeably. And so mm-hmm. it confuses a lot of people. Dementia is sort of like the big umbrella, the big mm-hmm. disorder. And then Alzheimer's falls underneath that, as well as like frontotemporal dementia, which is what Wendy Williams was diagnosed with, vascular mm. dementia, which is due to high blood pressure and diabetes, dementia due to alcoholism. They're all sort of subtypes of dementia, right?
I see.
And so Alzheimer's is a very specific type of dementia where theoretically you can't actually make a diagnosis of Alzheimer's until somebody has died, until you can biopsy their brain.
Oh, I did not know that.
So, you know, we're a little bit more advanced now where maybe you can rule out some other causes of dementia and see how things progress and then say it's likely Alzheimer's. I've worked with a company in particular that, you know, they say that within 95% they can diagnose Alzheimer's just by doing a skin biopsy. So we're sort of moving forward, right? But the reality is, historically, we can't make that diagnosis unless we do a brain biopsy, and that happens when somebody has passed away and we do an autopsy.
Wow.
Wow. That, wow. What really, and I did see the Wendy Williams documentary, and it really saddened me because I had no idea her health had declined so much. Everybody just kept talking about her drug use or alcoholism, but I did not know that that could affect your brain and actually cause dementia. If she or anyone who is an alcoholic were to stop, would the brain heal? Would it regrow synapses? And would you be as close to normal as you possibly could be if you stopped drinking?
So the brain is capable of a tremendous amount of healing, mm-hmm. right? But the reality is that a lot of people have been drinking for decades. So right. they've been causing damage to their brains for decades. So it's not like you stop today and all of a sudden next week or 2 weeks from now, you're going to be better, mm-hmm. right? So mm-hmm. even when we go out and let's say we drink and we get tipsy or we get drunk, most people don't know why they get tipsy or they get drunk. You get drunk because in that moment, you're causing dysfunction in your brain.
Yeah.
You're causing the neurons not to function properly. You're dehydrating your brain, so your brain actually shrinks in that moment, right? Mm. If you go out and you do that once, your brain will recover. But you go out and you do that time after time, that damage becomes, you know, for the most part, you can't really fix that unless you've got like 20 or 30 years ahead of you where you're no longer doing the thing that's causing the damage. And then you're doing things that are really healthy for your brain and help your brain recover.
Okay. That really sounds very familiar. Yes. Because we do have alcoholism in our family. And one of my siblings is an alcoholic and her reality is totally different from everyone else's reality. And we look at her like, what are you talking about? What is going on? This doesn't make any sense. But in her world, it makes sense to her. These things actually happened and it just boggles my mind. But the way that you're explaining it is a lot easier to understand. I think that it will resonate with a lot of people hearing this interview.
Yeah. And alcohol is associated with more than 200 different diseases, including different cancers, dementia.
I never heard of cancers from alcohol.
Yeah. That alcohol you know, heart disease, strokes.
Wow.
And so this idea that they sold us on, that alcohol is somehow good for the heart, is actually not true. The reason that that is because of this chemical that's found in grapes and other fruits and vegetables. That's a really powerful antioxidant, but it's not specific to the alcohol, right? The alcohol is actually a poison to our entire bodies. And I see people every single day that ruin their lives just by one night of drinking. One night of drinking.
Yeah.
Really? Right? One night.
Mm-hmm. One night. They go out, they get into a car accident, they kill themselves, they kill somebody else.
Right.
All of a sudden, they start having seizures because of the alcohol. Alcohol is the number one date rape drug, right? Like I said to you, alcohol has more than 200 different diseases. So when you talk about your family member and how her reality is so different, for me, it makes me think, oh, I wonder if she's got Korsakoff syndrome, right?
Now, what is Korsakoff?
What is that? What is that?
Korsakoff syndrome is associated with alcohol use. And it's when, like, people, like, it's almost, it kind of comes off like they're lying, like they're telling these stories about their reality. Mm-hmm. Right, but they're actually not lying. It's just their brains don't process information the same way because of the dysfunction in that's occurring in the brain.
That's similar to what you were just talking about. You just said something about your sibling. She believes what she's saying, correct?
She does. She is all this. I don't know, this constant wheel of the same things that have happened over and over and over again. And, you know, it got to the point where really we've all had to distance ourselves from it because it was pulling us into this craziness. And, but she is not the only person in our family that, you know, has alcoholism. My biological father was an alcoholic and he died of cirrhosis of the liver. So I always really made the connection for cirrhosis of the liver. I had no idea that it also affected your brain. And that is truly scary. I'm glad I'm not a person who drinks.
Yeah, I was thinking about the same thing, but I do not drink. Thank you.
Tattletale, you do.
I'm a lush. Don't judge me. It ain't right. Y'all did this on purpose. Y'all stick these two doctors on me to make me stop drinking. It ain't right. What y'all doing to me?
Tattletale, we're actually having an intervention, brother. You didn't know about it, but
I see that now. It's not right.
Let me ask you a question. What are some of the signs of early dementia? What are some of the signs of early dementia?
Yeah, so some of the early signs might be that people find that they get confused from time to time.
Okay.
It could be that people are forgetting stuff, but I mean, we all have times where we're forgetful. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, even when we're forgetful, it's not so much that we have a memory issue. It's that we're not learning the information that was at our disposal for us to be able to remember it to begin with, right? Mm-hmm. So if I meet somebody and they tell me their name, and for whatever reason, I'm not focusing, so I didn't register their name.
Right.
It's not so much that I forgot. It's more so that I just never learned it to begin with. Right. Sometimes we need to make sure that we're focusing on actually learning the things that we can then go on and remember it. Certainly sleep issues, personality changes, those could all be early signs of dementia. And dementia is a systemic disease, meaning that it doesn't just impact the brain. It impacts every part of your body. And that's why I said that there's that company that I've worked with where they can do a skin biopsy and diagnose Alzheimer's disease, right? There are certain types of dementia
where you
see changes happening decades before they develop signs and symptoms of dementia. Like in dementia related to Parkinson's disease, you might have constipation that develops 10 years before. You might have changes in your ability to smell and taste that develops really early on. You might notice that your writing gets a lot smaller a decade before symptoms of dementia, right? So it impacts the entire body and not just your brain.
Wow. Another question. With dementia, are you finding in the African-American race, how high is the percentage opposed to other ethnic groups?
Yeah. So it's going to be higher For a couple of different reasons. One, because our levels of high blood pressure and diabetes are higher, right? So we've got to make healthy choices very early on in our lives. We've got to make sure that our blood pressures and blood sugars are where they're supposed to be. The other thing is, a lot of times we may not have access to care, or we might seek out health care a lot later than some of our white counterparts.
Right.
But when we talk about things like alcohol, it impacts everybody. They've brainwashed everybody into drinking. So I see just as many white people coming in with alcohol related issues and dementia as I see blacks, browns, Latinos, Asians coming in with the same thing. Right. But overall, we've got to make much better choices about our health, which also means not just we need to stop drinking. We need to exercise on a regular basis. We need to eat healthy foods. We need to stop eating double or triple portions of food. We need to eat to the point where we're 60-70% full. We don't need to eat to where we're 100% full, or that we're getting bloated, or the itis starts to kick. With smoking weed, right? Like, for a long time, I was considered a medical marijuana expert because I would prescribe it based on somebody's neurological needs. If somebody had really horrible epilepsy, I would try and talks on it. But when you're prescribing something like that, you're weighing the risk and benefits.
Right.
And again, people get high because of the impact that a drug is having on their brains.
Right.
And over time, that's going to cause dysfunction in your brain. And in fact, if you were to take the brain of a healthy individual who's never smoked weed and take the brain of somebody who has smoked weed for a really long time, and you weigh both of their brains, who has been smoking for a really long time, their brains are going to weigh more. Because as we age, our brains are trying to become as efficient as possible, trying to get rid of neurons that we don't use and connections that we don't use and strengthen the ones that we do. Smoking marijuana, or marijuana in general, interferes with that process. Right. Wow. So we all know those people who've been smoking for a long time and they're a little cognitively slow. They're slow to respond because it's causing dysfunction. So we've got to make healthier choices when it comes to our health.
That is true. That is very true. See, and you all, Tattletale, Les Boogie, y'all thought I was crazy to get off of sugar and stop. It's been since August that I have stopped eating sugar.
This you got off that sugar to find a man because that sugar was driving you crazy, and every man that dated you, you was driving you crazy too, sugar mama. Stop trying to what's the word? Misconstrue the doctor's diagnosis here about these issues. You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
I agree that we need to all get off the sugar,
and this is why Tattletale really needs to stop drinking. But one of the things that I have learned,
I never liked you, dog. The truth is,
and this was the crazy thing, is my brother actually coached me through it because he went through a sugar detox, and I noticed that my headaches decreased, my sinuses started draining. You would have thought I was on cocaine, because going through the detox, my nose kept running. I think one time we were interviewing, and my nose kept running. I had to apologize, but just getting off of that changed my life. I could tell you an incident as I twisted my knee on Friday, last week Friday. Got up Saturday, I could barely walk. I was limping, iced it down. By Sunday, there was no pain. I was walking well. It's gone now. And the only thing I could think of that would change something like that is me stopping sugar. Because normally when I twist my knee, it's for months before I heal. I just keep saying to myself, this is the reason why you got to stay off of it. And my diabetes went down. I'm hoping the next time I go, they're able to start weaning me off the medication that I take. And they've lowered it and said, if you keep this up, we can actually wean you off. And what she said really struck me. She goes, you'll go into remission. So you'll have it, but you have to, for the rest of your life, be careful of what you're putting in your mouth. But just the word remission is atoning it to like cancer, and that really kind of shook me when she said that. But it affects everything, absolutely.
Wow, that's crazy. Question, Doc. With the marijuana, we have a lot of young people. They're walking around, you know, they legalize it and all that. What would you tell them? Because you said the reward and risk factor. What would you tell someone that just wants to smoke weed, you know, just to be doing it? What would you tell them as a doctor?
Yes, I would tell them about the negative consequences that it has on your brain. Right? Mm-hmm. We see, you know, the number of car accidents go up if somebody is high. Mm-hmm. We see people are unable to accomplish their goals when somebody smokes on a regular basis. When you look at the most successful people on this planet, they're not smoking weed. A lot of them are not even drinking alcohol because they understand that they need their brains to function optimally to reach their goals, be successful, and create the lives that they want for themselves. I think, you know, as a society, we've been brainwashed in terms of that in order to have fun, we need to be either drinking or on drugs or smoking something. In order to relax, we need to be drinking or on drugs or smoking something. In order to face challenges, we need to be drinking or smoking or, you know, smoking or doing some kind of drug. And the reality is that none of that is true. We have everything we need to reach our full potential at our disposal within our brains. And when we're doing these things, all we're doing is taking away from our ability to be who we are truly meant to be.
Wow, I like that. I applaud that 100%.
I'm sorry, Les. Is there a difference, say, if you take a weed gummy, I don't know what they're called, but I'll just say those gummy bears, is there a different effect or does it also affect your brain in that way? Because somebody will say, I'll stop smoking it, but I'm going to take a gummy bear or I'm going to take a brownie.
So it'll still impact your brain, but your ability to absorb it changes, right? If you smoke something, it'll go to your brain a lot faster. But if you take something by mouth, it's got to go through your digestive processes. It goes through your gut. It goes into your bloodstream. And so the effect may not be as strong. But, you know, you will still be impacted.
So continued use, you'd still end up the same way. You could still. Is that the same for cigarette smoking as well? Does that also contribute to dementia and all of those things that you're talking about?
Yeah, so cigarette smoking is a leading cause of strokes, which if you have enough strokes, that can certainly cause dementia as well as weakness and inability to speak. Cigarette smoking damages blood vessels throughout your entire body, but especially in your brain, so it contributes to developing vascular dementia. Cigarette smoking, like we know, is associated with cancer. I mean, just because things are legal does not mean that they are good for you, right?
Right.
And a lot of reasons that things are legal is one, they can capitalize, they can make a lot of money off of you. And it's in sort of their benefit to have people that are high and sick all the time because you're not going to rise up against things that don't work.
Right.
It's amazing. Keep everybody high, keep everybody sick, keep everybody so stressed and busy. Now, you know, governments don't have to worry about people. Mm-hmm.
That's very interesting, man. You know, I went to school to be a certified substance abuse counselor, right? And we deal with the why are they doing it? Why are you picking it up? Why are you smoking? You're giving me some insight on the medical side of it, what it physically does to you, what it does to you medically. That's real interesting because with legalizing marijuana the way it has been done, these young people and a lot of other people, they're walking around and they're not even thinking about the effect of this stuff. You know, and you said it, it's about the money. It's always about the money. There's the only reason why they legalize it. Same thing with alcohol, with prohibition and what have you. Now it's legal. And look, you got a bunch of young people. There's a lot of car, I'm in Long Island, there's a lot of car accidents. And they tell me, oh, well, you know, DWIs, you know, driving while impaired, it's not really the same. It is the same. You get pulled over and you get caught and they test you. It's the same punishment as it would be if you were drinking. And this is what I'm trying to explain to these guys and these young ladies out there and people in general, because there's a lot of car accidents. You said something earlier about car accidents going up. There's a lot of car accidents out here in Long Island. I don't know if you watch the news, but people are going up the wrong side of the highway. They're getting on the wrong exit, going in the opposite direction. There's a lot of things going on. And people are dying out here, you know, and then the young people, everywhere you go, you smell it. Everywhere you go.
Everywhere, Manhattan.
It's a bad thing. It's a bad thing. And like I said, I was trained to deal with the psychological part of it, not the effect of what it actually does to you. So we talk about, well, you know, you need to do this and get with people that you can identify with and find out what your triggers are and all these other things. But they need to be also told about what it can do to you later on down the line. And that's real important. That's scary, though, to be honest with you. That's
very scary. And the reality is that when people are coming into emergency rooms, because they're intoxicated, because they're high, right? Like, obviously, we take care of everybody. Mm-hmm. But after some point, doctors and nurses are like, yeah, we got more important things to do. There are people that are sick for other reasons, instead of constantly taking care of the alcoholics and the people that are high. And words are incredibly powerful.
Right? Yes, they are.
The wording of all these things, right? So a DWI is now driving while impaired and not driving while intoxicated.
Right.
And the word impaired versus intoxicated, impaired doesn't sound so bad, right?
Right, right.
The same way when you think about like sexually transmitted diseases, it's now instead of STDs, it's STIs, sexually transmitted infections.
I didn't know that. Disease, okay.
Infection, you know, you think, oh, it clears up right away. It's not a big deal. Even though that has chronic negative consequences as well.
Right.
And so they're changing the wording around things so that way you continue to make these poor decisions. And that way they're going to continue making money off of you your entire life.
Wow. Wow. People definitely need to hear this. This is amazing. It's amazing. We're so much in the dark. So much in the dark about so many things. Another question I had. What are some of the things that a person can do? Better health, better eating. What would you suggest? What would be a course of action for someone that wants to change their lifestyle right now?
Yeah. So regular exercise, 3 to 4 times a week, moderate intensity exercise. You want to eat really healthy, and you can start taking the sugary drinks out of your diet. Stop drinking the store-bought juices. Like orange juice sounds good in theory, but there's a lot of sugar in that. So unless you're making juice with organic fruits and vegetables, don't drink the store-bought juices. Get in 3 to 4 liters of water in your body every single day.
Wow.
Okay. Stay away from the alcohol like we've talked about. You need to make sure that you're getting anywhere from 6 to 8 hours of sleep every single night. Being sleep deprived is a risk factor for dementia. When you get into the deeper stages of sleep, that's when your brain is clearing out the toxins that have been built up throughout the day from the work that it does.
Wow.
When we can't get into those deeper stages of sleep, well, down the line, that puts us at risk for developing dementia.
Okay.
Right? Wow.
So we've got to make sure that we are getting a good night's sleep. We also need to make sure that we are constantly learning new skills, new information, surrounding ourselves with different people. Doesn't mean that we have to agree with their opinions, but learning about their experiences allows our brains to make new neurons and new connections. A lot of people will, you know, they spend all their time with the people that they grew up with. They may do the same job for 40 years. And then, you know, if they're able to make it to retirement, because I see a lot of people who don't make it to retirement, their bodies are broken or they're really sick. But if they're able to make it to retirement, a lot of times within months, they develop signs and symptoms of dementia because they never learned anything new with the last 40 years.
Right? See, y'all stop making fun of me, always learning. See, that I'm getting all the time, I get teased. So y'all need to stop.
I read every day. I read every day. Yeah. I have a very extensive library in my home.
He does do that. Yeah, he does do that. That's for sure. But I'm getting ready to go get some sleep right now. So I'll see y'all later.
It's only 8:30. What time is it?
I'm going to bed right now. Absolutely. Wow. Great information. Wow. Miss Francis.
Yes.
Jump in there. I know you have something to say.
Well, when we talk about learning, you know, technology, we're in the age of information. Mm-hmm. Right? We're at a point in time where there should be no question that you can't get answered. And so with Cerasync, that's why we developed Apex, because a lot of what we're talking about on the show, you know, you may have unique risk factors and questions that you didn't get a chance to ask. Well, getting access to Apex, it just opens up. It's like having 24-hour access to a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to really understand, you know, your unique health profile, which is important, right? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, when we talk about the tools that we're developing at Cerasync, we understand that, like, you know, everyone is different genetics. We eat differently. We how we respond to exercise is different.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, really, you know, having an opportunity to now start studying oneself to really look at, you know, like health care from the perspective of how do I become better, right? What are the things that I can do in order to get better sleep? You know, like I have two wearable technology watches, right? And so I'm able to sort of see what kind of quality of sleep I'm getting, right? That's so cool. That's all about learning when we talk about understanding, you know, the importance of deep sleep. And as he said, like, you know, the ability to just sort of clear out your brain, to clear out all of the sort of the things that it doesn't need in order for you to wake up and feel rested and ready for the next day. And when we talk about a lot of the issues that our kids are having, and when I say kids, I mean just like, you know, in communities where there's you know, high levels of gang violence, it's like our kids are not sleeping. So they're agitated all the time. And then you add the fact that they're smoking and just making some really poor choices. I feel like, you know, now is that time to really educate them and give them options, right? Even when we talk about technology, we can use it as a tool to help our kids understand the things that they're interested in and the things that they're not, you know, open up the world in terms of possibilities with careers, you know? So one thing that the AI Word Whiz does is that, you know, a lot of the kids that want to be rappers, it helps write lyrics. You know, a lot of the single mothers that are out there that are looking to, you know, update their resumes, you know, it it creates resumes based on the unique job description. So it helps, you know, women that don't really understand, you know, how companies are selecting employees, it gives them a competitive edge.
Right. I see. So, okay.
You know, I'm going on my apps to download that.
So, and, you know, when we talk about, you know, students that are already in school, you know, having the ability to really, you know, go through 10, 15, you know, PDF documents about various different subjects in a quick period of time, you know, it just, again, it gives them a level of, gives them access to information that they would not have normally had access to. And now we're in a time where they're banning books.
Technically,
we don't necessarily have to worry about that if we show our kids how to utilize tools to get the information that they need. So, you know, again, at Sirius Inc. and the AI Word Whiz Corporation, we're doing a lot of that. You know, understanding, you know, unique learning styles gives us a lot of capabilities, and understanding that, you know, again, no two students are going to learn the same.
Right.
And because of that, again, it just allows, you know, it allows us to take our education system to the next level. So again, with, you know, for me, I'm very passionate about the youth because they're our future.
Yeah,
and I understand, absolutely. You know, in terms of being in a technology space and looking at what's going on around the world, you know, our kids are not prepared. So what does that mean for us, an aging population? Right. If we're not preparing leaders that can really be competitive and really understanding what, you know, what technology can do. Right. We can have a generation that understands, OK, when we're programming our humanoids. Right. We want to make sure that every older person that may strive to live home alone can. By developing robots, which are humanoids, that can live with them and tend to their every need, and also have conversations with them, which is now, you know, again, when we look at populations like Japan and Korea, where the populations are aging, they're already looking at, you know, what loneliness is doing to their aging population.
Right.
But here in the US, that's just not, we're not just that focused on it in a way that we should be. So, you know, I agree, you know, just, In the age of information, it is important, first of all, to introduce our kids, adults, to the tools that allow them to get the information that they need.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Let me ask this question. Sirius Inc., can you explain your co-founders of Sirius Inc., and then you have the AI Word Whiz Corp. Explain exactly what that is in terms of not only that, but how someone can get involved or get the information from you, how they can contact you and what have you. Your services and everything else like that.
Okay, so I'll let Dr. D break down Sirius Inc. and go into that.
Okay.
Because
give it to the doctor. Okay, let the doctor.
You know,
the
my mind is working like Sirius Inc. Is that cerebral thinking, or so? How did you come up with that name?
brain health, you know, one brain, one body, you know, when you understand the, you know, how the brain is sort of connected, you know, it's important to, for people to really understand how their lifestyle choices cannot just like affect, you know, their everyday lives, but, you know, they're just the person that they want to be, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40 years from now, which is important. You know, we think about, you know, what's going on in our lives right now, but it's important to me to not just think about whether or not I'm going to live 100 years, right? But my quality of life while I'm living is important.
That's right. That's right.
So if 70 to 80 or if 80 to 90 are going to be my last decade, I want to be able to do all of the things that I do now. So in order to be able to facilitate that whole process, right, what I do now with my mind and my body is very important. And my unique, you know, my genetics are important. So and so what we are doing at SiriSync is in a number of things, but our medical personalization aspect of things is, again, looking at, you know, developing a system that utilizes all of the information about an individual to help them make the best decisions, for the best medical decisions for themselves. And also that of course deals with education, right? Because when we talk about the constant need to learn, right? Having a real core understanding of how sleep deprivation sort of affects how you retain information is important. And I'll let the...
The reality is, as a healthcare industry, we're really bad at diagnosing dementia. And then we're even worse at treating dementia. And we certainly get worse in both diagnosis and treating when we start talking about minority populations, so Black and Brown and Asian populations. And you know, at SiriSync, what we're trying to do, one, is to diagnose dementia early on, because the later you make that diagnosis, the worse it's going to be. But if you can identify symptoms really early for an individual, then you could potentially reverse their symptoms. You can reverse the dementia depending on what the cause is, right? If the cause is the vitamin B12 deficiency, then I can just supplement your vitamin B12. If the cause is vitamin D deficiency, well, look, we know this time of year where you're not getting as much sunlight, we've got to make sure that we're supplementing your vitamin D. And we know that melanated skin absorbs sun less than it does our white counterparts. So we tend to be vitamin D deficient more than they are, right? Even though we don't necessarily think that, right? So we can make that diagnosis early. And then using some of our technology throughout the day, say, hey, you know, I noticed that your oxygen saturation today, the average is maybe about 94%. And we know that your memory, your cognitive functions are better at 96%. So why don't we do some deep breathing exercises today?
Yes.
Right? So we can tailor it to that specific individual every single day. You don't have to wait to see me in 3 months to tell me what's been going on.
Right.
I know what's going on today. And our technology can say to you, hey, we need to do this. So your blood sugar is running a little high. So why don't we, you know, cut back on the carbs today, drink a little bit more water today.
Yes.
Right. And that is what we're doing at SiriSync. Diagnosing earlier, customizing the treatment strategy for the individual.
I think that these are all great, but we also have to deal with the reality that people don't want to be realistic about their health. I mean, it is impossible sometimes to get people to take it seriously, to go for an annual physical, and understand. And being with we are people of color, we seem to shy away from the medical profession because of past historic, the history that we've been dealt with. Not learning how to advocate for ourselves and simply going with what someone says instead of getting a second opinion or talking to other people. And that is the biggest hurdle to getting people to do and come to a place like SiriSync.
Right. And so that's what technology is so important, right? Because when you're able to log into a system and ask questions and immediately get answers to your questions, now you feel empowered. You're able to advocate for yourself, right? I'll give you an example. I went and got my nails done and my finger just got huge, I went in and asked Apex and it diagnosed my condition. So when I went to CityMD, I went in there empowered with information, right. Like, hey, this is probably what's going on. And they're like, oh yeah, you're right.
Wow.
So, so when we have the ability to get our questions answered, our health questions answered at home, and really, again, are trained in a way to start studying ourselves, the way we study anything, the way we learn about a profession, we really, it's going to take a cultural shift. Right. But I think we can lead that cultural shift with allowing people to understand that getting access to these tools, this technology, will benefit you more so than anyone else. You only get 15 minutes with your doctor. So it's best that you know as much about your condition as possible. And that's what Apex is. Our members have 24 access to their to Apex that can answer a number of different questions. And what does that do? It alleviates the embarrassment, because some people may not ask a doctor a question because they may be embarrassed. But now you're in the inside of your own home. There's no one around and you can ask Apex a question, and that may empower you to keep asking questions. And now say, and now decide, should I be, sorry about that, guys.
That's all right.
Should I be, and decide, right? Should I ignore this or should I get on the phone and schedule an appointment?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now you mentioned Apex. What is Apex?
So Apex is our it's our AI dementia care information assistant. Oh, so you think of ChatGPT, but sort of like a medical doctor that you have access to. So that can answer most of your questions.
That's very important. That's why, I mean, I kind of knew what it was, but I wanted you to explain that, so people listening to it will understand exactly what you mean. Now, the next question would be, how do they get in touch with you in order to take advantage of your services?
Yeah, so our website, you can access Apex by visiting www.cere, so that's CERE-SYNC.com.
Okay.
And you can join. Mm-hmm. We have a number of...
Say that again for me. www. I'm going to write it down. Go ahead. Say it again.
It's CERE-SYNC.com.
They know I'm going to go on and find it right away.
Yeah. Okay. So there are a lot of resources that are there. We publish 2 to 3 articles about brain health every single day. And the great thing about that is you may read something in the article that may seem interesting. You can log on and ask Apex a question. Right? Okay. So Apex is there. She's available 24 hours a day. We also have a number of different calculators that can give you information in terms of like how much water intake you should get. We have eBooks that are available to our members, and everyone that subscribes will have exclusive access to Quantum Apex, which is, again, our personalization and customization engine that we are currently developing.
Wow. That's amazing. Put all this together. How long have you been, when did you guys find, you know, start this up?
About 4 months ago.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Relatively new. Okay.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. That is absolutely great. Wow.
Do you also deal with people who might be on the spectrum or neurodiverse, and or they may not even understand what's going on with their brains?
Yes. Mm. Yes. Yes. It is. Apex is there for everyone to use. It has a number of like its domain knowledge in terms of like the medical field is extensive. Mm-hmm. And that is only growing in terms of its knowledge base.
Wow, that's amazing. And I want to get that right again. I'm going to ask you again for the website, because I want to make sure they know. I'm writing it down now. Go ahead.
So it's www. cerre-sync.com.
Gotcha. Thank you.
You like this when you go on.
Yes.
Oh, you found it?
What? When Schaefer started talking about it.
there's a dash in between Cerasync.
Yes.
Okay, dash in between. Yeah. Let's do it right. Let's get it right.
Go ahead, Sugar Mama. Sugar
Mama. I don't play with my brain. I do not, but my family knows I am a person who's constantly learning. With two masters and a third master about to happen, I continue to learn.
Yes. Yeah. So there's that dash in between.
Okay. Let me do that because I want them to see that.
Yes.
Everybody, I froze on my end a little bit, but don't worry about it. We'll be back. We are almost out of time, though. We are almost out of time.
Yes. We'll be
there. Wow, time goes quick. Time goes really quick. And hours very, very fast.
And I also want to add that the AI Word Whiz has 31 chat assistants.
Oh, wow.
So if you need advice about financial management, if your kid needs help with homework, there are 31 unique chat assistants that are there to assist and answer a number of questions. If you have concerns about cybersecurity risk, there's also a cybersecurity chat assistant available. If there are articles that we've written at Cerasync that you would like to quickly summarize, you can also do that at the go to the AI Word Whiz and also access resources there as well.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Any parting questions, my co-host? Any questions for our guests?
I have no questions, but one thing I would like to add. Especially with the people of African heritage, we have to remember the land is the people and the people is the land. And we're in a foreign land. Everything basically that grows in this land is poison to us. The potatoes, that's poison to us. That raises your blood sugar so high, especially white potatoes. So people who love French fries and those baked potatoes, you have to cut them out. The white rice, you have to cut them out. So many things that we're eating every day we take for granted, but they're bad for us.
Right.
I don't know about the white rice stuff. That's a little hard.
Yeah, white rice too.
And there's also that's the website. And there's also your course, right, Dr. D, at the BrainFit Institute?
Yeah, so if you go to the Inly BrainFit Institute, that's where we help you get your brains healthy or keep your brains healthy, but also become the leader that your brain needs you to be in order to overcome the challenges of your life and to create the life that you want for yourself. And so that's where you'll find online course called Take Charge of Your Brain, as well as several eBooks and a blog to really help you create the life that you want.
Wow, that's very necessary. I know a few people besides myself, we're going to have to look into this. I think I'm pretty okay at this point. But I have a sibling. I'm not going to say that.
I'm not going to say that.
Let me put it like that. I pray that I am. But you know what? There's never nothing wrong with taking a look at yourself.
Exactly. You know, that's right.
Examining things. I do go to the doctor. I do go. I do have hypertension. I do have type 2. It's been in control for the last 10 years, whatever. But this 10 years is just too long. It's just too long. Doctor, can you get off? Can one get away from diabetes, period, without medication? How do you do that?
Yeah, so type 2 diabetes is a lifestyle disease.
Mm-hmm. Right? Really?
It's based on our level of exercise and the foods that we've been eating. Mm-hmm. And so to really minimize your risk of getting type 2 diabetes, or if you do, to go into remission, essentially what you need to do is exercise on a regular basis, and you need to cut the sugary foods, cut out the carbs that we eat out of our diet. And if you can do those two things, exercise and eat really healthy, then your diabetes gets under really great control.
Okay. How much exercise would one need to do weekly?
4 to 5 days of like 45 minutes to an hour of moderate intensity exercise.
Wow.
Right? Right. And that doesn't necessarily mean like you have to go to a gym. If you're somebody who loves dancing, find a way to dance 3 or 4 times.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm an Oculus person. They have this app called Supernatural, and they show it on the commercials a lot where they're playing with the spears. That is exercise. So mm.
And Apex writes meal plans as well. So wow. Yeah.
Wow.
So if you are interested, you can, you know, put in the foods that you like.
Mm-hmm.
And it can develop a meal plan for you. It can also develop a workout plan for you.
Come on,
it's just doing it. So.
Yes. Right. I looked at Apex. I can just sign up. I can sign up for an account, right?
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I saw that earlier. Yes.
Yes.
I will do that. You will see my name there.
We started with alcohol. Yeah. You know, if you minimize the alcohol intake or cut it out altogether, that also helps to lower your blood sugar.
Yep. Wow. Tattletale.
Doc, I smoke cigars every now and then. I don't smoke them every day, but like maybe once a week, you know. Is that a danger too of like causing the dementia and Alzheimer's?
Yeah, I mean, so you're not going to get me to co-sign on any cigars or cigarettes or any of that.
Yes.
So all of that stuff
is a problem.
He's okay. Trying to bring you in, man. He's trying to bring you into his side. He's not co-signing that.
It is a problem.
No, I mean, like, you know, just like once a week, that's bad too, huh? Oh,
it
man.
It is.
Uh-oh.
Wow.
Wow.
Here is the sign-up page. I believe this is the sign-up page. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, very good.
So the AI word was, so there are literally over 100 different features, and it writes blogs in 5 to 7 seconds. It just does so much that it will make you the most super productive professional. So I would advise anyone to sort of try it. And it's a great way to be introduced to artificial intelligence and its applications.
Right.
Excellent. Wow. We've come to that time, though. I really don't want to stop. Normally, our show was 2 hours. The last time he was with us, we were on for 2 hours, but we had to cut it down. Because people, once again, their attention span is not that long. So we want to make sure that we get everything in, you know, so that people will pay attention and stay for the whole show. And this show, we're going to push very hard because I think it's very important that people find out about. There's a lot of people know a little bit about it, but they don't know enough. And our job is to make sure that we pass information on. And it's great information. And I definitely appreciate y'all coming and the fact that y'all are doing this. I haven't seen anybody. I know there's other people in your field. You probably know, but I've never seen or heard of anyone doing anything like this. So I applaud you for that. I give you a big up for that because that's real, real important. And anything we can do to help, we're going to, even if you get a commercial or something and I'll play it, you know, got a lot of followers, get a commercial, do so. I'll make a commercial for you. We'll put it out there and get people to really come through because it's important. Not just old people. Cause that, I think that's the misnomer. Old people get dementia, you know, and I don't know about that. I see some young people walking around.
It's surprising. Got something going on. Yeah, it's surprising that somebody like Wendy Williams, who's in her 50s, now has temporal dementia.
Yeah,
right. That blew me away. I've looked
at some research where we've seen in Black males that have died as a result of gun violence, they've shown signs of heart disease.
Wow.
Yeah. You see, so there's a lot that's going on very early that we are not... That we want to make sure that we study and we understand what's going on so we can prevent, because we can keep talking about we're at the top in terms of healthcare disparities, but now it's time to do something about it. And see, and we are, you know, one of the only healthcare companies in the world that are actually utilizing quantum computing and the way that we are utilizing it to really, you know, answer questions about medical conditions once and for all in an effort to prevent diseases before they occur.
Wow, that's great. I have one last question. We talked about being misdiagnosed, doctor. Tell us a little bit about that because that's important.
Yeah, so that's really important. It's estimated that about 50% of people who are diagnosed with Alzheimer's in a community setting are misdiagnosed. So that's half of the people that are being told that they have Alzheimer's disease when they don't. And even if they go to specialized memory clinics, still about 25-30% of people are being misdiagnosed. So they're told that they've got Alzheimer's disease when they don't. What makes that so important is that for a lot of doctors and just people in general, you give somebody the diagnosis of Alzheimer's, everybody gives up on you. Right?
Wow. Exactly.
It's just like, oh, they've got Alzheimer's, whatever. There's nothing we can do. Well, what if it's not Alzheimer's? What if they're just depressed and it's manifesting as dementia, right? Wow. So what if it's a vitamin deficiency, right?
Wow.
So, you know, what if they've had a bunch of concussions and that's why they're having these symptoms? So the diagnosis, we said before, words are powerful. The labels that we give, the words that we give, determine often how we get treated, what we think about ourselves, and what we think that we're capable of.
Wow, that's amazing.
You know, we've got to find accurate ways of making that diagnosis, and that's what we're doing at Cerisync.
Excellent.
Are you located a brick and mortar office, or is it all online?
Right now, it's all online.
Okay. So you can access through your mobile phone, through any device that you have, you can access all of this stuff, which is great because people don't have to leave their homes to get to you.
Yes.
You know, they just gotta, and if they have a young person and you don't know how to use these devices, well, ask your grandson, ask your wife, your kids, somebody knows how to use. You know what's important? I think that a lot of people of age, I don't think they take the time. Not that they can't do it. But they say, I don't have an email. I don't mess with computers. How many times have you heard that? Oh, no, I don't do anything with computers, not me. And you're like 55 years old. Are you kidding me? You're 60, 65. Oh, I don't pay any bills. What are you talking? When it first came out, I understood that people were a little leery about the computers and taking your identity and all that stuff. But in today's world, you have no real choice. I mean, you have a choice with everything, but I'm just saying it just doesn't make any sense. The information is on here, just like you talked about with AI. You have so many things you can learn just from, if you do it positively, you can use all this social media stuff and everything in a positive light to get information that years ago when I was coming, we didn't have that. We didn't have that. We had telephones in our homes. We had to make our own games up in the street. And if I wanted to go, I had to go to the library. I had to go to the library. Now the library is on my computer. And it's the World Wide Web where I can learn anything I want to learn. And hopefully people do it in a positive light. You can learn a lot of negative stuff, too. But you got to push that to the side. These kids have an advantage. And you're talking about putting things into your brain. But there's a lot of information you can learn from AI and just Google and different things that you want to know that you don't know. I go to YouTube, and I'm telling you, I became a mechanic. You know, any problem I have, I go to YouTube. There's a how-to video. I don't even waste time calling nobody anymore. I had a boiler problem the other day, and I went to YouTube, and I no longer had to pay this man $250 to come to my house. So these are the things we have to continuously put knowledge in our brains, man. We have to put knowledge in our brains, and I believe in that. And I don't care how old a person is. That's an excuse to me. Mm-hmm. People make excuses because they don't want to take the time to actually do something. And we got to stop doing that. As a people, we have to stop doing that. Because the information is here. People like yourselves, us, we're giving information. Utilize it.
Yes.
And, of course, we gotta really look at the health. The health thing is crazy. You know, we're dying in mad proportions. It doesn't make any sense. How's everybody type 2? How is that possible? Everybody, every other person is type 2. Everybody I run into, I'm type 2. I got metformin. I got glipizide. I got this. Come on, man. It's ridiculous.
And you know what's really interesting about that? So the people that aren't type 2, they're pre-diabetic and they're still on metformin, right? No. And the reason being is that industry, one, wants to make as much money off of you as possible so they can prescribe these medications early on, the better. But two, they believe that we're not capable of making the healthy choices we need to make every single day to prevent ourselves from going from pre-diabetic to type 2.
Right.
Yeah. And we need to show them differently. Yes. Right. So I tell people all the time, look, I may be the expert on the brain, but you are the expert on yourself.
Yeah.
And when you and I are talking, it's two experts coming together to to figure out what we need to do to either help you accomplish your goals or to help you get healthier. Right. And that's the mentality that we need to take. And that's part of the work that we're doing, one at the Inley Brainfit Institute, but two at SiriSync, right? We're changing the way that you think about yourself, your health, and what you're capable of, so that you, that way you show up differently. Yes. That way you can really transform your life.
Well, yes.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay. Well, like I said, we could go on and on and on, but we're going to come to a close. And I want to thank both of you for coming. And anytime you want to come back, I see a book coming. I see something. I see some things coming for you. I honestly see that, because that is important. You put out a book, it'll be a bestseller, honestly, because people are not really on this the way you're explaining it. And I think that is very important.
Exactly.
We're going to spread the word. We're going to spread the word. We want to thank you once again for coming out to the Les Boogie One-on-One Show right here on Fresh Nation Radio. We come on Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. So this show will be playing this Saturday, as well as all social media platforms, iHeart, TuneIn, Spotify, and the like. You'll see it on any podcast platform. You'll see the Les Boogie One-on-One Show. And I will individually send you a copy of it so that you have it for your records and your websites. Put it up and let people see it. All right. Tell them about the show. We'll tell them about you. Thank you for coming out. And we had a great show. Thank you for the information. Les Boogie One-on-One Show. Signing out. All right.
Good night.